Good morning. God bless you and welcome to another wonderful fellowship here in San Diego, California, the greatest place on earth, right? Yeah. We're going to be looking at Galatians chapter 1 this morning, or Galatians chapter 6, I'm sorry. Because in life we carry these things around with us. I don't know if we would call them burdens. Maybe most people would call them things that cause stress in our lives. What's another word for burden?
Cares.
All these things that we carry with cares. And, you know, Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 1, and I just want to go through a few of these verses here with us. It says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken of fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And then it says, "To bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So there's an instruction given to me in God's word to fulfilling the law of Christ, which is what? What is the law of Christ? What is the law of Christ? The love. "A new command I give unto you, that you love one another." That's not new. But what he said is, "as I have loved you." He gave them a perfect example of really what love in service meant. Right before he is getting ready to be led away and betrayed, when he's at the supper, he gets up and does what?
Washes
the feet of the disciples. What a loving act of service, but what an example also of the humility of the one who really stood head and shoulders above the disciples spiritually. And yet he humbled himself and offered this love in service. And so God really works with us in telling us to bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself and alone, and not in another." Now verse 5 says, "For every man shall bear his own burden." Well, wait. I thought verse 2 had just said, we should be bearing the burdens of others. Now it says, let every man bear his own burden. I mean, what's up with that? It looks like there's kind of a contradiction going on here. And then it goes on, ending in verse 10 for this little section. It says, well, verse 9 is a good one too. "Let us not be weary in well-doing." You know what that means? You get to a point in your mind, you just say, what's the purpose of this? What's the point? They don't respond to what I'm doing anyway. So you know what? Forget it. I'm done with them. I'm giving up. Maybe you don't say that, but in your mind, you say it. And by your actions, you show it. And by your attitude, everyone around you knows it. Many times. But here's the exhortation of the word. "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." That's this little group of individuals. It says to be especially good. We go back to verse 1. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault..." You know, this word overtaken is like an animal who's traveling through a woods and all of a sudden, bam! The trap snaps on his leg and he's caught. This isn't necessarily somebody who's like willfully knowledgeable and just walks into and saying, I'm just going to do this. It's somebody who's overtaken in a fault. It's really something. It's to surprise or to detect. We're all humans. We're all going to be put in situations, sometimes unknowingly, to be tempted to step aside from depending upon God, which is really, truly what sin is. We've got it sort of figured out that it's a behavior. You know, like, well, he had too much to drink last night. A sinner? You know what? Sin, in its broadest form, is doing anything independently of God. Wow. Thank God for God's grace. Or none of us would be sitting here right now. We would have been poofed right off the face of this earth, right? Yeah. But God's grace, God's mercy, enables us to sit here today and enjoy each other's company and to love each other. So if a man be overtaken in a fault or a trespass, it's like a falling aside. If he falls off the path, it says, ye which are spiritual. And that's interesting. You which are spiritual. Anyone who has the Spirit of God within them is spiritual. But you know, there are certain people within the body of Christ, and their function is in really mending. They're really good at mending things and restoring things. Another way of saying this is those who are spiritually led, or those who are spiritually proficient in mending, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. This word restore, there's two things. It's also used in the Gospels, in Matthew 4:21, where Jesus is walking along and he sees the disciples and they're doing something. They're mending the nets. That's what this word is. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Mending. It's also, there's a connotation of like when a bone is broken, that when you have that bone set, you want it done right, right? And generally, you don't want some doctor coming along and say, oh, man up. Let me just pull that bone and you know what? Don't cry, you little baby. No, I mean, you don't want it to be like that, right? You want someone who's going to be gentle and caring and comforting, you know, in that situation. You don't want somebody who's just necessarily slapping you around to get you back in place. And that's what God's Word is saying. You know, restore such a one. Do that mending and that restoring and put it back into place in the spirit of meekness. Keeping an eye on yourself. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. That's interesting, huh? You know what? People who are in the position of restoring others need this kind of caution. They really do. Because, and this is what somebody wrote, Satan loves a shining mark. He loves nothing better than someone to go in and improperly try and attempt to restore somebody else to their full place spiritually as a son of God, and somehow gets convoluted by the enemy, and he just uses it as another, you know, ding on the body of Christ. Considering yourself, lest thou also be tempted. I'm going to go back to this in a second, too. Then verse 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens. And really, more literally, it means keep on bearing. You know, if you think about where the context of Galatians 6:1 is, it's right after it follows about the fruit of the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, you know, not by the flesh, this sort of thing. It's in the context of those who are walking spiritually. What does that mean? That you get involved in the restoration of a brother or sister who you see God is revealing to you, or they're sharing with you that they're carrying something that they're having a very difficult time carrying on their own. Well, what do? Then you go to Dale Carnegie's book and try to figure out how to resolve their particular issue, or, hey, this worked last time, and you know what? I heard Velda talking about that, and, you know, that sounded like great ideas. Spiritually minded. What does that mean? oh, I have a resource beyond myself, God Almighty. I can go to God, walk spiritually, and see if it's even really a good idea for me to get involved in the situation to do the mending. Could be a great temptation to not get involved. Well, I don't want to get involved. It's pretty common thinking. It's their life. So we keep on bearing. And now we come to this word, bear. It's the Greek word B-A-R-O. Borrow. Borrow. Barrow, whatever you want to call it. Do you know what it reminded me of? Is what English word we may possibly get from that? Any ideas? How about barometer? Do you know what a word barometer is? It measures the atmospheric pressure, whether it's falling or rising. Rising barometer means what? Anybody know? Any weather people in here? If my memory serves me right, rising barometer means good weather. A barometer that's being depressed means bad weather. That means heavy. Think about it. This word burden and bearing this burden is that spiritual barometer that these burdens, these things are piling up and causing this pressure that's pushing you down, that's stopping you from being the man or woman of God that you could potentially, possibly be. See. What are burdens? It's a weight. This is the weight of the burden that's pressing down upon you, that's causing you to be dysfunctional. Money. How am I going to get this done? We're doing this. We're going more in debt day after day after day after day. I just see it piling up and piling up. I just don't see how it's all going to happen. You just carry the weight of that. See? Then maybe there's a physical thing. I'm not feeling well today. You know, or maybe it's been a chronic problem. I've been not feeling well for a period of time now. See? Or you find some other thing. Emotional burdens that people carry. There's so many different burdens that cause people to be weighed down. You know, one of the greatest deliverances a person can get is when they find somebody they can share those burdens with and solicit help. You know, we can't just wait for somebody, because we're going to be disappointed probably in our expectation. Or we're really surprised when it does happen that God actually told somebody to call you and say, hey, how's it going? You know, God just told me to, you know, call you. You know, then we have an opportunity to really share openly. Well, hey, bro, you know what? I'm just like so whacked out and everything's just happening, going wrong and blah, blah, blah. But also there's a thing on our part to just say, hey, you know what? I need help. I need someone's assistance, someone's advice, someone's counsel here in this situation. Well, you know, I don't want to bother them. I got so many things going on in their life, and you know, they got this and that, and you know, blah blah blah. And yet, the directive of the word is bear ye one another's burdens. You know, those heavy weights that are pressing people down. Causing the barometer in life to get pressed down. Pressure. Burdens bring pressure. So that when you go to bed at night, you're thinking about stuff. When you wake up in the morning, you're thinking about stuff. You know? It's something. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. I want you to hear this little story. A There's so much stuff here. I mean, how do you put it all into 15 or 20 minutes? So there's a gentleman who climbed Mount Everest, right? You probably never heard of his name, but maybe some of you adventure-type readers have. His name's Sir Edmund Hillary. He led the first team to go all the way to the top of Mount Everest. He had a guide with him, a Sherpa guide, whose name was Penzic Norgay. It's a good thing Norgay was with Sir Edmund Hillary, because as they began their descent, Hillary's foot slipped and so he so lost his balance that he fell completely. But Norgay had taken his pick and jammed it into the ice, and because of the rope holding them together, was able to keep hold of him until he was able to make his way over and grab hold of the mountain again. Otherwise, guess what? He would have fallen over 1,000 feet. You know what somebody happens to somebody when they fall 1,000 feet? Splat! Death normally occurs at that point, correct? So when they got down to the mountain, everybody was ready to make this Penzic Norgay a hero. And he responded to the press. No. I'm not a hero, he said. Mountain climbers are tied to one another to help each other. That's just who we are. How about that? Huh? Save somebody else's life. Somebody wants to make him a big hero. He comes up with this little Sherpa guy. This is who mountain climbers are. We are tied to each other. We're there to help each other. He didn't want praise for what came naturally. He didn't want to claim for that which was expected. Our nature as a body of Christ demands that we be committed to mutually helping one another. So the question then becomes, who is your line tied to? Or has your line been cut loose and you just have a bobber that's floating out to sea, like a cork in a bottle with a note in it that says help, but you've let it go? You just toss it in the sea. Help! And what, 20 years, 30 years later, somebody finds it, they're like, who is this person? You know? Oh, it's Kathy Roth, you know, San Diego, California, 92120. And I think I'll give her a call. 20 years later. See. You can't be tied to everybody all the time in every situation, but you know what? That's just not possible. But you better have your line tied to somebody. See. Some Christian brother or sister along the way, because you know what? By yourself, it's a lonely journey. You're going to be like that bottle floating out at sea. And it's just running by the whichever the wave, way the waves are going. So if you want stability in your life, toss your bottle out to sea. Right? No. No, you get hooked up with people. You get linked up together. See, people that you can really trust and who will advise you. And I'm sure it's going to take some honesty. See? It's not easy to admit you have a weakness. In verse 5 it says, but every man shall bear his own burden. If we go through those other things. You know, in the Greek spells it P-H-O-R-T-I-O-N. But it's really where we get our word portion from. Portion. So every man shall bear his own portion. That which has been assigned to him as his responsibility in life. Different. Louis's got children, young children, who I'm sure test him occasionally. But that's his responsibility. That's his sort of quote unquote burden to bear, kind of his opportunity with God working and his wife and family to figure out how this thing works. I'm not necessarily going to be carrying that same portion of responsibility that he has, or Stephen, or anybody. So, But this word portion, it's an old English word, and it's from a concept about carrying a ship's cargo. That which the ship has been outfitted with for the journey. You know, Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 11 called his portion, his burden, light. Though the terms he used of the Pharisees, he called heavy. It's really something. You know, it's easy to assume that we're being called to bear the load of other people's burdens as well as our own load of burdens, and that is not a pleasant thought to most people. I got enough stuff to do in my own life, much less trying to figure out what's going on in their life. Or maybe you've never had that thought. And this is something that I really think we ought to take thought of, is the temptation that's talked about in Galatians 6:1 is the temptation to carry other people's burdens as your own. And all of a sudden you personalize those burdens because such and such and so and so has this kind of thing coming down at them, that you get tricked into thinking that now that's your burden in life to carry, as well as the other burdens that you're carrying in life. That is difficult. No wonder people have an attitude like, forget it! I wouldn't even know what's going on with them, because I don't want to carry it personally. I've already got my burden, my pack full. See? Now you want to add more to it? But they're different words. That one is about the barometer pushing things down. And it's best descriptive, it's descriptive of the weight of those burdens, those heavy loads of problems. Think of it like this, like a wagon load or an ox cart full of the problems of our lives. Okay? You're kidding anybody, man. You've got things going on in your life. You're a human being. Welcome to the human race, okay? You didn't sign up for Christianity to have a problem-free life. Or if you did, you're figuring it out that it's not like that. But we have a resource that can help and advise us through these obstacles in life. So that word load or burden, it's not so much about the load in verse 5, like the burdens of problems and pressures of the world, but it's more like with what a soldier might carry to battle. The necessary things that he needs in that pack to carry out his responsibilities as a soldier. But God is calling us to come alongside others, to help them bear the heavy loads caused by the accumulations of the problems and pressures that pile up in a person's life. And at the same time, in this other verse, we're reminded that we are to be carrying out and carrying another kind of load that we have in our own backpack. Having been a fellowship coordinator for many seasons, I know what it's like at times dealing with people who have issues. Sometimes those situations turned out very positive, sometimes those situations turned out quite negative. Especially in the negative situations, there's a tendency to really look at yourself and wonder, what could I have done better? Or somehow it's a personal, it becomes very personal. You know, like somehow it was your responsibility to convince them to do the word, so now they're out there and they're not doing what they need to do, so now somehow that's a reflection of me. Yeah. That's really not true, is it? It's not really my responsibility. I used to say, I don't go home and sleep with people. I don't go and get in bed with the people at home. You know, I love helping people and helping to offset some of those pressures and things, but you know what? Once somebody leaves my home and closes the door, I don't walk down the sidewalk with them and go home and get in bed with them and live their life and think their thoughts and all that. None of us do that. But we have a large ammunition to be able to help others. And it varies. How do we help others bear burden? I don't know. Could be sending flowers. Could be sending a card. Could be sending a note. Could be talking to somebody. Could be calling somebody. Could be building a fence in somebody's yard. It could be a wide variety. Why does it have to be limited? Well, it isn't limited. It's only limited by you. See? Because it says, ye which are spiritual. What does that mean? You know what, God? I know there's something out there that you'd be blessed for me to be able to do and help somebody, love somebody today. What is that? Bam! All of a sudden you get this thought, Stephen Jolteman. Wow, why am I thinking about Stephen so much today? I got a little clue for you. That's God talking to you and telling you. Something's going on here with Stephen. Pray with him. And you can continue on the conversation with God. Okay, do I need to do anything? Should I call him? Should I take him out for a beer? I mean, and kind of go with it. You know, a lot of times we get the thought, man, we are so busy carrying our own load. We just walk right on by it. Like I said, thank you, God. It's grace. And we just keep, you know, we just keep moving on. Our lives are busy, okay? There's lots of things going on in our lives. But we also have responsibilities in life, too. But the responsibilities and burdens that Jesus Christ is talking about, and the reason he refers to them as light, is because they represent the will of God in our lives. And the things that are of God and of the will of God and the counsel and the commands and the things that God has reminded us of, those are the very things that should be of the greatest blessing to our lives and bring the greatest joy. We are called to help each other with the problems, with the pressures and the trials that the world, the flesh, the devil pile into the wagons of other people. All of our lives. But we are also called to carry out the responsibilities and duties that the Lord has packed into our backpack for our own lives that we are to carry. The trouble often comes when believers start stuffing the problems from their ox cart into the pack on their own back. And soon it gets so weighed down that they now have trouble dealing with the problems in their own cart, let alone assisting others with theirs because they can hardly carry their own pack. Many believers are simply dragging around overloaded backpacks. You've stuffed all this stuff in there, and somehow, sometimes, it outweighs the things that God has put in there. And it takes priority over the things that really bring true joy and really bring true blessing into your lives. We just stuffed them in. But it says, ye which are spiritual, mend, help, restore. Problems are meant to be carried to the Lord. Responsibilities are meant to be carried out for the Lord. Love that. Carry the pressures to God. Your backpack, the way you live out your calling as a son or daughter of God, that's done for God. Wow. So much stuff here, man. The problems, the pressures, and the troubles of this world should not be a constant drain on your soul and spirit. Even though that the devil, the world, the flesh, and everything else expects it to be. It means it to be. But the responsibilities and the duties of our discipleship should become a continual delight. Why do you think there's so many records in the Word where it says about putting God first? Think on these things. Take upon yourself the form of a servant like Jesus did. Now the devil is able and wants to get everybody wrapped up in their own life. Wow, that sounds so simple. But I think he's found it so easy. Just put all these things around people, you know, the work and the money and the emotions and relationships and men and women and going here. All of a sudden, life is just revolving and revolving. Wow. So in dealing with problems, which we all have, we are ideally designed to come alongside one another like a team of oxen in order to bear others' burdens. But when it comes to your own burden, your own pack on your back, you military guys, no one else is carrying it for you. No one else can carry out your walk, your function, your ability to walk with and for God. That's yours. Our wagon may be full of problems, but don't go trying to pull that cart by yourself, throwing it out to sea. You know what's going to happen? You're going to pull a spiritual, mental, and emotional muscle. And maybe that's sometimes the thing that slows us down spiritually. We are always re-pulling muscles, either trying to pull our own cart of problems alone or by stuffing problems from our cart into our backpacks. So we have been pulling muscles trying to pull the cart alone or drag around that overstuffed pack on our back. Jesus yet very simply says, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." And it's like I say, well, who in the world wouldn't want that? Who in the world wouldn't want that? Well, that's fine doctrinally, but in a practical sense, how does that happen? See, that is the real critical thing that's happening in God's Word. Wonderful words on a page. How do we get them to come off the page and into my life and into a living, breathing organism? Have you a heart that's weary? See, like it says there. Tending a load of care? Are you a soul that's seeking rest from the burden you bear? And so it says, do you know my Jesus? Do you know my friend? Have you heard he loves you? And that he will abide till the end. He's coming back for us. He's handpicked us. Well, let's go down to verse 9. Kind of want to wrap this up here. There are some wonderful truths in this section, though. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Isn't it curious how prone we are to give in and to give out in doing the good, which somehow becomes either tasteless or dull or tedious or mundane? It's not exciting. I'm not even sure, really, excitement is a word you even read in the Bible. That's not the criteria of, you know, when we want all that too. But it's the persistence, the faithfulness, the consistency. You know, no matter what the weather's like. I would love for it to be 72 degrees with perfect humidity every day of the week, 365 days a year, wouldn't you? Oh no, I like 90% humidity with 105 degree temperature. What? We don't always get what we want, do we? In due season, it says we shall reap if we faint not. In other words, we don't get tired. We don't get relaxed and exhausted of giving, exhausted of giving out to help others. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. It means at any occasion, as we have occasion at any time, let's keep on working the good deed. You know, for the obvious reason that we all belong to the same family. We're in the same family. We may not be blood, sorry you Italians, but we're in the same family. We're thicker than blood even. See? And we've got these responsibilities to each other to restore, but primarily to walk with God. That is just, man, that's it. You know what I think sometimes in my mind is like, well, you know, maybe we don't know exactly what that means. But we do have a God who can show us and teach us what that means, right? God, I don't really know what that means to walk with you. Would you like me to show you? Yeah. So God then instructs us. He teaches us. He guides us. He leads us. He helps us. See. Really simple. So that's it. Galatians chapter 1. Rest from the burdens you bear. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Carrying and helping, insisting others with their burdens that just become so, put so much pressure on them in their life that it's time for them to just, hey, you know what? There's assistance available. See? They're sitting right next to you. They're right here in this audience. See? It's not me all the time. See? Could be that person sitting right next to you. Who's going to be the one to assist you and help you to lighten your own load? And more than likely, God, Spirit working in people, they're directing you to God. They're directing you to the Word. They're directing you to God-inspired programs. Let's say like this Dave Ramsey financial seminar program that Dan is very excited and blessed about participating in and has over the years. These are things that are designed to really help people who are suffering from financial pressures. Well, I've never had that one happen in my life ever before. Oh no, you got money to burn, right? A lot of people are in that particular trap, or emotional burdens. See. So many different things that we carry. So, we think more like that guy who climbed Mount Everest. We're tied to each other. We're linked. When another falls, our rope holds them up. And our desire is ultimately to bring great praise to God for fulfilling that which He's put in our pack. That's something. So, God is good. We want to rest from the burdens that we bear. Even the heat in this room right now. You know, you could be sitting there thinking, man, it's sure hot in here. I can't wait to get out of here and go outside and let the wind blow on me. Well, you know, in about 2 minutes, you're going to be able to do that. So, do that. We sure do have things we like, don't we? Or Kathy lives out in East County, has no air conditioning. Do you, Kathy?
No.
No.
I just have a nice cool wind that comes through.
Yeah, she's so thankful for that breeze that comes through her home to cool her down. You know, a lot of us to get out of fellowship because the internet doesn't turn on in 10 seconds. You know, it's amazing what have become sort of priority and stress factors in our modern day world. You know, the hot water heater is not working. Well, I like hot showers too, but you know, push comes to shove, I would take a cold shower. You know what I mean? So we have built up certain security things in our mind of the way we expect and have to have life lived, and it's not like that for everybody. So whatever you think is good and right and proper for your life, don't put yourself in a place of judging others because they don't do it like that. Okay? Our situation is to be spiritually minded and go to God to get His wise counsel in helping people, not because I like hot water. Not because I like it at 65 degrees in my house, and you might come in there and say, "That's so cold in here. Oh my God, how do they pay the electric bill?" What? Who cares? I mean, what business is it of yours, honestly? You know, but you know what I'm saying? Our minds are just so uniquely different in where they go so quickly. You can keep it at 50 degrees in your house. I may wear a jacket or whatever. That's fine. You know? You go to Bob's, it'd be 85 up there, and he loves it. So, well, I think that's a good point, you know, to be able to just monitor our own personal situations, our thoughts and thinking and judgments about our own personal life, and then transferring that to others in a judgmental sort of way. That's not unconditional love. You know. And it maybe stops us at times from really reaching down and helping people bear. This is a spiritual battle. The devil is after people. He doesn't care how. So, it's on us. And I have great confidence in you all to walk spiritually, walk with God, keep your lives sort of balanced, and that we all work together to help each other stay balanced in that way. So it's an ongoing journey for sure, as you've noticed. And so that's it. Rest from the burden you bear. Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy and privilege of loving you, loving your word, Father, that you are so awesome and good to us. And hopefully we've learned something here this morning, Father, the way you've taught us and the way you'll continue to work this information in our mind, that we just don't let the barometers of our lives put so much pressure down on us that it stops us from functioning as efficient and effective members of the body of Christ, that we learn how to effectively work with each other and work with you, Father, to just release all these things. And so we look forward to that, just continuing to surface in our lives, Father, as we have a heart to love and serve and give and to be all that you've called us to be. And we pray in the powerful, the wonderful, the name under which every knee should bow, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.